It's just good to be in the Lord's house. We've looked forward to being here. Had a good trip over, and it's always good to be around Brother Scott. He's just a blessing to the folks here. Good to see some of the White family, Sister White. I was thinking, and they're singing that last song just one more time, God gave me another opportunity when I was under conviction. I went back down to the church. I couldn't find my wife that night. And I thought that I was talking to some on Saturday night and closing out a meeting there where I was saved at. And I went up to the truck. I'd loaned a smaller one I had to my nephew so he could go courting on Saturday night. And the moon was shining and she wasn't in the truck. So I started to turn and go back and I heard a sob. I went around to the other side, tears coming down her face, dripping off, said, Rayton, I can't stand the thoughts of me going to heaven and you going to hell. Said, sometimes I wished I wasn't even saved. I said, don't say that. I went back down there, but they didn't have time. They took me in a room, said, pray. And Lord, I got trying to pray like a Christian. You can't do that if you're a sinner. The only sinner can pray is God be merciful to me, a sinner. I turned over every leaf in the book. I smoked. I quit that. Some folks can't do that after they're saved. And anyway, I wouldn't smoke. Then I like to shoot pool for money. I quit that. I drank some beer once in a while. I quit it all. My mama said, she was a school teacher, said, when she married Dad, she said, count to 10 if you get angry. And if you're really angry, starting two, count real slow. One time you get there, you lose it. So I did that. I was getting about good enough to join the church. Everything. I said, well, that good works won't save you. But anyway, Brother Robert White is coming to preach a revival there. They wanted him to. He was pastoring that church part-time. He had another one to come there Sunday evening, Saturday night. She said, he's going to preach a revival. I said, that's the only preacher you ever paid any attention to and touched you. I said, well, others, they'd tell a vision or a dream and run off on something that didn't steady. And he preached how a Christian's supposed to live, and I dealt a lot of them, and I seen they didn't live that way. And I kind of like to see them squirm when I was lost. But instead of that, this word is quick and powerful, than sharper than any two-edged sword. And when he got to preaching to the Christians, it got to me. And you know, when it gets to you, you can't run. I went to Galax, Virginia the other week. I always look over the other side of Woodlawn. It's a four-lane highway on Highway 58. And what they call Fatter's Hill is a crooked road, two-lane. And I drove that truck every day, hauling milk from the farms into the processing factory, had my own business. And man, that thing in high second gear. He had preached on hell the night before, and I really got in trouble. You say you did. I got mad. I got irritated in church because as a man, my brother run to the Lord on the third seat. He still showed the effects of drinking where veins, being he had such a hard drinker. His wife hired herself out as a farmhand to get groceries. He worked at a stock sale when he wasn't drinking and raised July Walker foxhounds. But my brother won him to God. He went to meeting. When he went, he got his handkerchief out. Man, I tell you, you could sing Sweet By and By and the tears would run. Amazing grace. And Brother White said, thank God for the mercy of God. I don't have to go to hell. He said, bless him, Lord. Amen. I got angry. I said, God, there's nothing fair about this whole thing. I'm sorry, but I'm not as sorry as he was. And I'm going to hell and he's going to heaven. And I tell you, the next day, you can believe it or not, but that preacher preached through the transmission of that truck in high second gear at 17 mile hour. I pulled out the entrance of the Midway Drive-In Theater, and I said, Lord, I don't know anything about this, but if you'll let me go up, get back tonight, I'll go up. And thank God that is over 57 years ago, and I want to tell you, I never have got over it. The Blue Ridge Mountains rolled off of my back that night. Amen. Little old lady, petite lady came around sitting back here. She is much younger than us, as well as myself. She said, "The Lord bless you. I'm so glad you got saved." Man, I tell you, I thought people telling us glad I got saved. And they meant it. I'm glad I got saved myself. The wife come around, and I loved her dearly. I said, "Honey, I love you." And I was weeping, and I prided myself on being tough. I'd been in the military, and tough man don't cry. And she looked up at me and said, "Didn't you love me before?" I said, "Yeah, but I never knew love like this." Yeah. I just passed from death unto life. I found what real love is all about. You have your Bibles, turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verses 17. I'm glad to be here. I hope you've been praying, and I tell you, I was glad to get in on the prayer meeting last night. I was blessed. I told my wife, and I went back down there. This people had a burden. And when God had a burden, when God's people go to crying out to him, and crying out like Psalms 12 starts off, "Help, Lord." The Lord's going to do something for us. We might not see it just in time that we want it, but it's going to happen. It will happen. If you'd like to stand, if you don't feel like it, it's all right while I read. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 1. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of the words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." Lord, I want to thank you for the sweet spirit and the good singing. Lifted our hearts, oh Lord. I thank you and I praise you that people sing old time songs that magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and give glory to your name. We thank you for churches that are still standing and going in the old paths and preaching the gospel, the grace of God, calling out sin by its name and telling them a remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for Brother Scott. I pray you'd bless him as he leads the flock of God over the land of country. Every true man of God that's preaching this morning, unctionize them to the power of God and help us. Lord, send revival in her heart. Save that one that's nearest hell, I plead right now. And that child of God has grown cold. May they come back to you, Lord, not drift away any farther. And we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul was a man that spoke a lot of languages. He has learned in a lot of things. But anyway, wherever he went, whether it was Mars Hill, before that he came up to Corinth, he didn't trim the message. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said to the Romans, he said, "I'm a debtor to the Greek, to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. And as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is a gospel, as the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith." And he was quoting from the Old Testament. Isn't it wonderful that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation? The Lord said in Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord. I change not, through Malachi, whose name means a messenger. And then he said, and Paul wrote in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when Paul come to Corinth in chapter 2, he told them that he determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't come with flowery speech. He didn't come with word that would take away from the Lord, but he come with the pure word of God of the accomplished, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was with them in fear and trembling in the demonstration of the holy power of the Holy Ghost of God. I want to tell you, the letter killeth, but it's a spirit that gives life. It's this word that makes a difference. And I begin thinking, and this year and last year, I've been preaching more, getting right back out here. A lot of God's people I know need encouragement in places you go, but we need to get the pure gospel of the grace of God. And nothing will it make us glory in any more of the Lord than when we meditate and think about it. Paul told the church at Galatia that tried to go under legalism, some of them. He said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, in Galatians 6:14. Now this church at Corinth, they had all the gift, but they had some problem. They was a defiled church. In chapter 5, verse 1, why, even there's a man that had his father's wife. His father evidently had married a younger woman, and there his son took him. And boy, they's puffed up about it instead of dealing with the matter and praying and trying to restore. And Paul told about them that they was defiled, and he told them in chapter 6 then of how that they had been delivered. Some of them were drunkards, some of them were adulterers, some of them were effeminate, some of them were abusers of themselves with mankind. But he said, such as were some of you, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and that brother, if he does not, he's made a profession, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the spirit, that had for the destruction of the body, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Then not only that, they was kindly divided. And you find there's some people out here, there's division. There's sermon tasters, I call them. I learned, now there's some fellas, I want a man when he gets up to preach the word of God. I want to call sin by its name. I don't want him to major and run a hobby horse all the time, can't preach but one thing. But I want it straight down the line. Always have, and I want to be one to take it in and not throw it on back. But this church was divided. You say it was. Yeah, in verse 10, you find in chapter 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same spirit of judgment. And then he said in verse 11, here was a family that was concerned, a house, not about spreading gossip, but about restoring fellowship to where the division had. He said, it's been declared unto me, my brethren, by them of the house of Coley, that there are divisions among you. For one of you saying, why, every one of you saying, I'm of Paul, why, I saved under him. I'm of Apollos, I saved under that man that was a silver-tongued orator. And then I of Cephas, of Simon Peter. And then I of Christ. I don't know them ones that was Jesus only right then. I wonder about that, if they're all looking for a way. Now he said, who are these men but ministers by whom that you believe? They brought the same message, and he said what they got their eyes on the messenger instead of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I'm said, well, if Paul's not going to preach today, I'm not going to be there. Peter's not going to preach, I'm not going to come. And if a preacher don't get the revived man to preach a revival revival that I want. I'll just stay at home. I'll be better off anyway. I tell you, when you get that attitude, God will give you something. You know, a lot of times, as old as I am, there's some young preachers starting out. I went down to a Jubilee. I'd closed a revival meeting last fall and on Wednesday night. And so I went down to this man's Jubilee that morning that he is having all week long. I didn't go to preach, but there's a young fella got up. He's not pastoring, but he's preached some youth meeting and preaching. And man, he can preach. When I walked in, he said, "I tell you, I wished I didn't have to preach." Said, "Brother Rayton, come in, long as he's been preaching." And he said, "You lead us in prayer." I said, "I will, but I want to tell you something before I pray." I said, "Son, I want to tell you what an older preacher told me when I was standing where you was at. I said, you preach like everybody needs to get closer to God here and we do, and then the sinners is going to hell if they don't repent. And I want to tell you, God give you something that I've never seen, and these other preachers also, and you can, even a babe can teach us younger ones a few things, if nothing else, a few lessons in humility." Amen. Anyway, the preaching of the cross. That young man preached up a storm. Then they asked me to preach. The way he preached, I didn't much want to follow him. Amen. I tell you, he had something for all of us. Hey, stand up. Amen. Preach it. That's it.
Right.
We need to hear the message, not just the messenger eyes on the message.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, yes. Amen. Vance Havner said, once in a while, God made a good-looking man just to break the monotony. Said some of them said, "Boy, he's good-looking." He said, "Yeah, but he'd better be careful, too." Anyway, you know, you look, the preaching of the cross, you know, it tells us, the preaching of the cross, some things about it. You say, why? The Word of God says, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree." He's speaking from the book of Deuteronomy. And then also in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, you and I, by the Spirit of God. If it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree. And it tells us, the preaching of the cross, that the penalty of sin is paid. Did you realize that penalty? You and I didn't have to be condemned. We were already condemned. We were conceived in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray. We like John 3:16, and I love that verse. I memorized it. But listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you know there's a positive and a negative in that? You believe, you have everlasting life. There's a negative. If you don't, you'll perish and go to hell. And then verse 17, for God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world. It was already under condemnation, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I went in that night condemned. I was already condemned. I was under the consequences of sin. But the penalty of sin, when the message come that Christ Jesus paid the debt for me, the penalty, I didn't have to die and go to hell. I wouldn't have to perish. I could have everlasting life. It sounded too good to be true. It sounded too simple out there to be just the simplicity in Christ. But it's so, I know it's so. Thank God I know he's in me now. The penalty of sin is paid. In James chapter 2 and verses 10 to 13, he tells us about speaking to them that are under the law. And he said, if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. It's not the Ten Commandments, the law of God. It's one. How many times you have to lie to be a liar? How many times you have to out here steal to be a thief? How many times do people have to commit adultery to be an adulterer or adulterer? How many times does a person have to kill to be a murderer? Just one time. In fact, Jesus went a little farther in his Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you hate somebody, you murdered heart. He said, if you lust after some of the opposite sex, in your heart you have already. There's a part of it. We've got a sin nature, and the penalty of sin is death. We is offended. Every one of us, Romans 3:19, it says to them that know the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become one thing, guilty before God. And that's the way we were. We were under the condemnation of sin. I went out there condemned to death before I got back that night. You say, what happened then, preacher? I walked out of that church after I pled guilty, and I wasn't guilty any longer. You say, why? I wasn't under the penalty of sin any longer. The same place. You say, why? Because there's one on the cross of Calvary took the penalty of my sin, died the just for the unjust, as Christ has once suffered for sins. Brother Peter said, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And brother, the gospel is preached in all the world. I didn't need to know about it before the foundation of the world, but I sure didn't need to know about it, Dad. And it's still relevant for this very day as it was 57 years ago in my place. Listen, the penalty of sin was paid. Every mouth stopped. You have to plead guilty.
Right.
Has in a court of law went to the person once. He got saved. I've been in several times, but this particular one I remember. He died the other year. I met his son. His son, I've got his card, like father, like son. In the landscaping business, Sparta, North Carolina. And then surrounding there is around Independence, Virginia. His name's Adam. His dad's name is Arnold. I want him to God. He come there to church, and I was around the Mount Airy area. And boy, he was going to every revival I was in them. I was preaching over there to Brethren in Christ Church from Philadelphia, from Pennsylvania. Man, I tell you, them folks, I scared some of my folks. They come to see me. They said, we've heard you on the radio. We want you to preach Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And man, he is going there. And them fellas said, I tell you, I wasn't used to it. They sent his stewards at the deacon. And I said, well, I'll go. They said, no, we believe like you. I found out they baptized them face forward three times, but that's one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And anyway, I found out, and I got there, the women is on one side of the church and the man is on the other. Them women had a little white hair and they had, you could have heard a church mouse go across that floor. And I said, Lord, I'm telling you, what have I got into? I'm glad it's just three nights. Maybe I'll get sick and won't have to come back. But you know something? Promptly at 7:30, that preacher was sitting up here in a pulpit chair, had two of them, Brother Scott, and he looked over at those stewards. I had never met him, and then he question mark, is that him? Yeah, you know what he did? He didn't say come. He just motioned his hand, pointed just like that, and I did exactly what he said too. He had that reversible collar. I said, Lord, have I got in a Catholic place? But at 7:30, he got up on that clock like 5 seconds. I mean, one of them big ones. He turned to the Gospel of John. Time he started reading John chapter 10. He was firm as on the word as anybody. Bless God, I said he believed something anyhow.
Yeah.
This thing might be quiet, but he believed something. They sung and he sat right behind me all the time I was preaching. Bothered me a little bit the first night. But I went back the next night, they'd come around, Baptist folks, they'd got quiet then, sitting there seeing that. I mean, they're standing around, chairs out the next night. And listen, you say, what happened? I was preaching away. I said, I don't know what this is good for Brethren in Christ or not, but it sure is good for Baptists. He jumped up, a little short, blocky fella, hit me on the back, said, preach, brother, it's good for us. Tell us about it.
Yeah, why, yeah.
We had people saved. I went back there. They was on daylight saving time a month before we was at that time. You know something? I got up there. They treated us red carpet. Went up there and they lined around the walls that evening. Went back again on that Sunday and we had four saved then. I mean, they was on fire for God.
Amen.
You better not judge by appearance sometimes.
Yes, sir, Doc.
It'll kind of tell you the penalty of sin is paid. You say, how you know it? Because God said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now we are, if we are saved, ambassadors for Christ. We represent a heavenly country. We represent God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We need to walk in the Spirit, glorify the Son, give glory to God, tell what the Son, God's gift. And then in verse 21, for he, the Father, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that you and I that were sinners might be made the righteousness of God in him. How many knows you're righteous this morning? Amen. You say them up your hand.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know. Well, you ought to be saved. If you trusted him, he's made us the righteousness of God. You didn't have any.
Right.
You don't have it now. It's a gift of God.
Right. Yes,
our righteousness of the Lord. The penalty of sin is paid. He tells us that, the false does.
Yes.
And then the power of Satan is defeated. You say, well, he's going about as a roaring lion. Took me 14 years of preaching before I ever saw one verse, one letter in a verse. You say, what is that? In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him if he careth for you.
Yes.
Then verse 8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And for 14 or 15 years, I'd missed that little word as. I found out he's an imitator.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ is a lion of the tribe of Judea.
Yes. Yes.
All he does, and I want to tell you, he might imitate, but he's been defanged.
Yes.
All he can do is roar. It said as a roaring lion, as one. He just roars, trying to scare you to death, when we're already more than conquerors through him, because the Lord of glory in the preaching of the cross died the just for the unjust, laid down his life, took it up again, declared to be the Son of God, power by the resurrection of the dead, and he's alive. Amen.
Amen.
You say he is. He certainly is. You'd find in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, I believe it is, somewhere in the Word of God, about thereabouts, if my mind's not slipped me, for as much as then are children of partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise put part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verily he took not on him the nature of angels, took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be laid like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And he had been tempted and suffered in everything, he's able to suffer you and I in whatever we go through when the devil attacks us. Sin will not have the dominion over you. You're not under law, you're under grace. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We need to count to set it out. Romans 6:11, likewise reckon, that's an accounted word, you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If all our sins is placed upon him, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. Listen, our sins is placed upon him. We died with him. We was buried with him. We raised with him. Thank God as he overcome, he wants us to overcome. You say, are you tempted? Certainly. But I reckon I got one greater than me that's in the world. You say, do you fail? Do you sin? Yeah, but I've got an advocate and I confess to him. He's faithful and just to forgive me. I was preaching last year and Ben just kept coming over and they wanted me to talk to him. I said, what's wrong? Are you saved? He said, yeah, but I got a monkey on my back. I said, well, quit carrying it.
That's all right, Doc. Listen.
I told him, he said, yeah, but I asked the Lord to forgive me and I feel like I'm forgiven. Then I don't even get home, but it's down on again. I said, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he said, what? Casting down imaginations, never thought it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking revenge on them. Say, Jesus, you took care of that. And thank God I'm not letting the devil war against my mind. It's a battlefield and me imagining things. I said, did you know you're already in heaven positional wise? He said, I am. I said, you are. Ephesians chapter 1 raised us up, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position's there, and he's in us here, and thank God we're in the world, but not of it, and more than conquer through him. I said, thank God. We ought to shout a little bit on that. Boy, he come back. I saw him again. He said, I tell you, I seen, I quit imagining things and started believing something.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen.
Power of Satan is defeated. You know, the principalities, word of God, he overcome all the principalities in Colossians 1, 13 to 18. And you know, that's word is to be first in rank, power and reign. I know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual weakness, powers of darkness, principalities, spiritual weakness in high places. But the power of Satan's been defeated, and we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I like Romans chapter 8, where Paul asked the question, then gives the answer. And if you can't make 100 on that, you just well to quit. Who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God justified? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. We are not no longer under condemnation. I wasn't 24 hours old. I've got a little Bible. I've given Bibles away to some preachers saved under my ministry. And Craig Edwards got one. I'd preached there when he was first saved, and then before they went off to school. But anyway, he wanted a Bible. And then Keith Letterman down at Denton, North Carolina, he just doing evangelist work, but he pastored one church in High Point, my youth director at Greensboro, North Carolina. And Keith, he said, he preaches mean. You say he does. No, he's not mean. He just, man, some of them call that mean preaching or hide bursting. He'll kind of cur you a little bit. And anyway, he won the Bible I did for 25 years in the ministry. And I had a 179 X Cofield that evangelist covered him with this, that. But he didn't have a kind of cover I wanted, and he covered it in burgundy over there at last for me, and it was mule hide. And I sent that into him. You can't trust the mule 20 years after you had him. It gets old. I can't hardly kick. He'll find one more in you if you ever worked him. Anyway, you know something? The word of God still stands. The promises of the Lord are ours. You say it is. The power of Satan is defeated. The principality, we're overcomers through him. And the promises of the Lord are ours.
Yes.
You say, yes. He established us in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. And I'm closing. I'll find it here in just a minute. Thought I had it marked, but I didn't. But we'll find a place. I'm not nervous, and I hope you won't get that way. Anyway, in 2 Corinthians, the Word of God says, chapter 1, verse 19, I like this, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus, Timotheus, and not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea. In him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Yes. Brother Peter said, whereby in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises to you that believe. You know, he promised us eternal life. He promised us salvation, didn't he? We'd believe on the Lord. Said, I'll give you eternal life. It's all a gift of God. And it's what Jesus did it all for us. After I was saved, I'd sung along with it before, but after I was saved and they sung this old song, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow.
Amen.
And they got down to the last verse, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. I want to tell you today, we're going somewhere. We're going because when you and I couldn't come to where he's at, he came to where we is at. He didn't take upon him the nature of angels, but of Abraham, the virgin-born Son of God, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14 says, and we beheld his glory, we looked on it, The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith comes by hearing the truth. That not of yourself, that's a gift of God.
Amen.
I like what Psalms 85:10 says. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You remember when you heard the truth, you got convicted, and you was told under such condemnation of sin, guilty before God, God, you can't love someone like me. And then I said, let me see it again. I read it again, Brother Scott, and I can't explain it. But it's like a dark night. You come in here and flip on the light. I said, I'm saved.
Amen.
You say, why? The Word of God verified it.
Sure.
Do you believe? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Confess your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth and the confession is made unto salvation. Then verse 13, Romans 10, for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord, that's all inclusive. They said, are you saved? I said, I'm not sure, and I felt better. I felt a burden, but I wanted something besides that. I was afraid when I quit some of them things, you know, that when I was turning over the new leaf, I felt a little better about it. Oh, I'm getting somewhere, but I wanted something sure. And you say, what was it? I've got the assurance. I said, I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm saved. And I knew I was saved. The next day, I bought a little World Bible. I was telling about giving them away, and I've still got it. I won't give it to nobody. It don't have anything but a concordance, some maps, no reference. Give $4 and a half for it, People's Drugstore. I got down the road, and I took the lid off and driving that truck two-lane. Other traffic, you just don't do it. You could kill somebody. But I'd see that Holy Bible on the front, and I'd lay my hand on it. It'd warm my soul.
Amen.
Then I got down there where two forks, and I got off the main highway and set off a bunch of milk cans. A fella picked them up in the pickup truck. I just had to read it, and I turned it over. And it, you know what it said? I just thought it's good anywhere you turn it at, and it's still good today. And I looked there in Romans 8 and 1 come out before me. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And that little three-lettered word now got about that big. Boxcar letters, nothing there. Now, 24 hours ago, I'd set off milk cans the same place. And I was condemned. I was miserable. I said, I've done that. Let me get back to that church. I'll go up. I got out of hell, but don't send me to hell. A few years won't make any difference. But he didn't come to send me to hell. He came to save me from hell.
Amen.
And I thought again what he did for me is explained on the cross. And I had electric two-speed, if you've ever drove. They do not get out of gear when you split shift. A vacuum wheel, but that one got out of gear. You say, why? I don't believe I was capable of driving. The Lord just sent his angel down and stopped it. You say, why? It's too blurry-eyed to see. I just pulled over and said, Lord, I'm not condemned now. If you're here this morning condemned, you don't have to go out of here condemned. You're here lost, you don't have to go out of here still lost. You can go out and say, you're here not assured that you know. You can go out of here and be sure you know. You want a meeting in your heart. You better go back to glory in the cross and what he did for you. And that'll get you Jesus. Keep you near the cross. There's a precious fountain.